Good evening. Welcome to this episode of the Hot Tech Podcast. We've been going for a minute, but now we're back. And now we are, you know, the three of us, the three best friends, are back again. Now, with me, Matt Vandry and Carrie Eddy. Good evening, Matt and Carrie. How are y'all doing?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. It's been a hot minute.
Carrie, how's it
going? Definitely clobbering time. Oh, it's definitely clobbering time.
All right, now, we will jump right into it. If we were ever given the Booker's pen, pencil, whatever, we need to fix the AEW mid-card. There's some good about it, but there's some that needs work. Matt, to you, first question. What is the one good thing about the AEW mid-card that you like?
What I really enjoy about it is, I mean, you've got a lot of, how do you put, a lot of upcoming potential there. Like there is, it's a fun area of wrestling. There's a lot of really good names. See, this is where I'll get to my negatives later too. But I mean, I think AEW does a somewhat really poor job of distinguishing main title contenders in mid card, and I don't think that's been really well established, but. I mean, if you've gotten your mid-card and Aleister Black or whatever he goes, Malachi Black, Cody Rhodes, and Andrade, I mean, Pac, if these guys are mid-card guys, Miro, if these are going to be mid-card guys, yeah, you've got a very, very, very strong mid-card.
Carrie, what's your favorite part? What's the best part to you of the AEW mid-card?
It's kind of what going off what Matt said. I mean, there's so many guys. There's so many now. At this point, you might as well rename Dark AEW Mid, because that's what it is. But I wish they would do more with it. Maybe Matt go with a positive. I'll go with a negative. I don't feel like they're treating the mid card properly. It's too many people not getting enough time. I mean, I know mid card is part of, you know, not getting TV time. But I mean, if they could do it in a different way, do it in a better way, to where we can actually see somebody wrestle. I mean, I like the potential, but it's not overwhelming me thus far.
For me, I like folks like Jungle Boy. I like Sammy Guevara. God, like you said, like Matt said, the up and coming, the potential aspect is what draws me in. But what I don't like, I think that Jungle Boy needs to ditch a dinosaur in the little guy. It's too much. Like, he needs to be a single act, or put him a little more serious, because you can't take him serious right now. He has that ability to be a Ricky Steamboat type of face, where he's a face his entire career, and everybody loves him. Everybody loves him.
Here's my opinion. I think with as many injuries as we have right now, I think we're going to see some shakeups with some people, and they're going to have to move some people into some spots, because who's going to fill Kenny Omega's spot? Who's going to fill John Moxley's spot? So I think we're going to see some of that. I think we may see the Jurassic Express split up. I think we might see some of that. We might see Preston Vance go out on his own, which I would love. I think with some of the big injuries right now, I think we're going to see some of that.
Now, Matt, what's the one part of it that you can't stand about the mid-card? What's the one thing that you would change immediately?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's in the mid-card. I don't know who's competing for belts regular. You know, it's hard to distinguish who is where in the pecking order in that company. I feel like, you know, what was the six-man tag last week? I mean, it was amazing. You know, you had Death Triangle. That stuff that should be upper card, and it seems like they're stuck in the mid card. It's kind of all over the place when it comes to that. Sammy Guevara I love the guy. He's amazing, great talent. I'd like to see him do a little more. I think he's a little nicked up and stuff and whatever, but it doesn't seem to have any direction. It just seems like we're
we just throw people into feuds and they kind of come and go, and you got feuds that nobody gives a crap about, like Cody Rhodes is the face. Obviously, people don't care about it. I'd love to see a Cody Rhodes run as a heel, though. I have no problem with Cody Rhodes, but his face act just sucks. I don't care to see it. So, yeah, I think they just need some direction. Just give us something and let's go with it.
Now, Kerry, to Matt's point about Cody Rhodes, like, I have followed Dusty Rhodes, you know, since I was a kid. I'm the oldest one here, and Dusty Rhodes, he wasn't the most spectacular wrestler, but he could talk people in the buildings, and he told a story in the ring that you believe. You believed he was a face in peril. You believed when he spoke, when he cut promos, they were from the heart. You believed. His son, everything I've read, Cody, pro wrestling was his fallback. He wanted to be a Hollywood actor.
Oh, God.
And wrestling was his fallback. He doesn't have his father's charisma or his brother's in-ring ability. He's kind of stuck. He looks like his father. That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
How would you fix Cody Rhodes? And, Kerry, what else about the mid-card would you fix?
Turn him heel and have him tear some people up. I mean, I feel like what he does lack, as you said, in charisma, he has some in-ring ability. I believe he does.
Yep.
I feel like set this dude on any face, and let him run. I feel like how I would fix the mid-card, I feel like a lot of these mid-card guys are caught up in too much faction bullcrap. Some of these factions need to be thinned out. There's too many people just getting stuck in the faction crap. Let some of these dudes loose. I mean, like, it's Dark Order being one of them. I mean, it's great. It was great in the beginning. I still like the guys together and doing their little thing, but I'd like to see some more of them just bust out on their own and do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And break up some of these tag teams, that aren't working. Break them up. And that's another thing. That's a whole other thing. These random tag teams, it's not only AEW doing it. WWE is doing it all the time. Well, hey, we're just going to randomly tag up together. I don't like that. It's nine times out of ten, it lacks chemistry and comes off as mid, and it's not good.
But do you guys kind of remember, it was always like the late 80s, early 90s. Tag team wrestling was a big deal. Like, when you'd throw two people together, it didn't matter if it was, you know, two of your biggest stars or not. Like, if you just threw two random people together against a real tag team, generally they kind of lost in a lot of times.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, we're just going to throw two stars together and they're going to run right through our best tag teams. It does. Not a fan.
I will say one that has worked has been Eddie and Jon Moxley. That one's worked.
Yep.
I kind of like that. When that whole thing happened, that was great. Now, sometimes you can have it to where there's two people that just have that chemistry and it works.
Yep.
But a lot of times it's not. It's the opposite.
Yep.
The first time I saw it work was there was in, I think, 87, where McIntyre had his car accident and they were stuck for a face. So Dusty Rhodes being the booker, he turned Nikita Koloff face, and they went on to win the Crockett Cup as a tag team. It worked. The superpowers. It worked for that moment because it was the necessity of the moment. It was a necessity of – it was convenience, and it
yep.
was beautiful. But normally, like Matt said, it's annoying. Even in the women's mid-card, I don't really want to see Rebel on my TV unless she's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Britt Baker doesn't need all these people. Like, it's – I get it. She's supposed to be like a heel. We get it. But she has an assistant and a bodyguard. That's too many. That's an entourage.
And look where it's catching Jamie Hayter up. Jamie Hayter could be off doing her own thing, going after Britt's belt, which I feel like is going to happen regardless.
Boy.
But it's like I said, these people, these really good wrestlers get caught up in this best friend crap. And nobody wants to see it. We're like, okay, we're waiting for them to turn on each other. Hurry up so that can happen. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're doing that kind of stuff, and we're just not realizing it. I don't know.
And to Jamie Hayter's credit, she did when she took 2 years off. She was when AEW first premiered, she was there, and she looked a lot different. She got in shape, and she got it right. Like, she got herself together, and she should be rewarded not to be saddled with Rebel, who actually is a TNA wrestler, who was a TNA wrestler, who can wrestle, and Britt Baker. Where I look at, also, when you have folks like in the division, in the women's division, you have Nyla Rose, you have Hikaru Shida. These are people who they're not going to win titles anymore for a while, and yet they don't really have feuds. To me, what makes a show good is to have a good mid-card feud, because you need something to get you to the top of the hour.
Yep.
Now, when we come back, we will discuss the next era of the WWE and who do we see as the leaders of the next era. You are listening to the Hot Tag Podcast on FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Hot Tag Podcast. Terry, Matt, and Carrier. Matt, who do you see as being at the forefront of the new generation of the WWE? You went through the new generation. You went through the Attitude Era. You went through Ruthless Aggression. You went through the PG Era. What is the next era? What should it be called? And who do you think will be the leader?
I mean, the leader is, I mean, what the hell? Rex Steiner? I refuse to call him Bron Breakker. Like he is it. I mean, I he needs a little more polishing, but man alive, that is an incredible specimen. I feel like that's a guy I'd like to see on the main roster sooner than later. As far as a name for it, I don't care. You know, I think there's a lot of potential, though, and I think you're going to see a lot more growth out of a lot of these young guys down in NXT right now. And but Bron Breakker is at the forefront, and it's not even remotely close. That's the guy that can lead a company. He has that ability, and he's just going to get better and better over the next number of years. But they're going to develop the talent with their new model. I truly believe it. And I think WWE is going to be on the come here in the next few years. And, you know, I think it's going to be hard for other promotions out there to catch up. I truly believe that this is going to work given enough time to make it work. So I think it's a good thing for the wrestling industry to cut guys who are not getting better. And I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm willing to give it a chance because, as you guys know, I'm a WWE honk. I love it. So I'm willing to give it a chance.
Carrie, who do you see as being the next leader or two of the next era?
I have to go with what Matt said. I can't. It's the obvious choice. He's got the looks. He's got the talk. Oh. He's got the lineage. Just the only thing holding him back for me is his name. Give him Rex Steiner. Give it to him. I get goosebumps. You know what I mean? It's just, it's that right. So I think that's part, that might be part of it. That's probably why they're going to change his name to that. I think they were just going to kind of test the waters with him and see if it would work. And I absolutely think it would work. I mean, I'll go off what Matt said. I feel like this new model, this could be big. This could be really big.
You know, one person that's on the main roster that I don't think gets enough credit for her work, and I think she could truly – I'm a huge Rhea Ripley fan, and anyone who doesn't like her can can go pound dirt. Like, she is it for the women's division as well. And, I mean, because – I mean, you look at some of the, you know, Charlotte's getting, you know, no one cares to see that at this point. You know, I even the Becky Lynch stuff, I'm tired of it a little bit. I mean, she's still, but yeah, I mean, Rhea Ripley, very young, Toni Storm, like, these are exciting talents that have been around enough, and they're exciting. I think the women's division has a lot of potential coming up.
The surprise one for me is Mandy Rose when they turned her heel. I was like, I didn't think I'd like it, but it's what needs to happen to Cody. It's the same thing. I really feel like there are definitely people out there that could use a heel turn to rejuvenate what they're doing.
Yep.
I really feel like, and I think with WWE kind of slimming it down, we're going to be able to see more. We're going to be able to see more of that stuff.
Right. I think them slimming it down and what they're going to do here in the next year or two, given they stick with this model, I mean, I think they're going to develop some real stars. And for the exact reason you just said, Kerry, these people are going to get time, you know, on TV to do it. So I think that's the only way you can develop stars. So it's exciting.
Now, for me, I want Bron Breakker to have, like I said, either give him Rex Steiner as a name or actually have him go by his actual name, which is Bronson Rex Steiner, which is like, it sounds like a wrestler. It's a little long,
yep,
but it's a perfect name for a wrestler. It is,
yep,
it fits the wrestler type. And as the two women, Rhea Ripley, and honestly, they have so many Australian female wrestlers. They could possibly build a long feud with, like, a Persia Parada, who is so much taller than Rhea Ripley. Like, and just, it fits. They need to build around people. They also need to build faces and heels equally. And they have they actually have youth on their side. For a company that people think that an older company,
yep,
they have a lot younger roster than AEW.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, Terry.
And I think the era should be the Amazon era, because I have a feeling with all these pay cuts, I give it, let's see, my son is 5. By the time he's 10, Amazon will probably own the WWE.
That wouldn't surprise anyone. that company just...
I mean, Vince thinks he's immortal, but he is not. So, yeah, I could absolutely see that happening.
Although they have said that, scientists have said that the first person who lived 150 has already been born.
Well, it ain't me given my physique, but congrats to whoever does that.
Now, we need to discuss, speaking of Vince and Legends, and Kerry, how would you book Legends properly? You have the pen for AEW and WWE. Like, why do both companies fail at this?
Because they try to make them wrestle. That's where they fail. Do not make that. That would be my number one thing. Don't make them wrestle. Don't do it. Because nobody wants to see Sting in the ring taking bumps. Nobody wants to see Arn Anderson and Tully taking bumps. Nobody wants to see old guys take bumps. No way. Now, I mean, there are some guys that I could see maybe. Yeah, I mean, does Edge really have any business still taking bumps? Probably not, but we're going to do it anyway. But they need to figure out how they want to do it. I don't mind the coach thing. I don't mind the guy in the corner type thing. I mean, maybe do their TV time a little bit better. Maybe give them some more promo time. Because, I mean, guys like Tully and Arn, that's what they were known for. Do that with them instead of wanting to put them in the ring. Like, let them do – like, I kind of enjoyed some of the stuff that Arn did with the whole – telling the whole Cody story. I like that. If they've got a strong suit, put them at it. I mean, like I said, do I really want to see Sting taking bumps? No. I don't think anybody really does. And if you say you do, then you're more of a mark than I am. I don't know what to tell you at that point. But I really feel like if they're going to do these the legends, just keep them out of the ring.
For me, it's – I don't want to see any more legends. Like, I grew up in a time where I was a kid, there were no legends. You had older wrestlers who would just kind of fade off into the sunset. You had Bruno, who would come across as a special guest referee, or he would corner for his untalented son, David. You had guys like that who would come in, be a special, like a commissioner type, and go sit down. I don't need to see – someone in their 60s, 50s and 60s still wrestling. That kind of brings me to Chris Jericho, Matt. Chris Jericho is on the other side of 50. Is it now time for him to hang it up?
So it's funny. We you know, when we were talking about topics and stuff, I really thought about, like, the last good, like, bringing back a legend. And Chris Jericho was in the match. I actually thought how they just did one match for Ricky Steamboat.
Yes.
Just, that's the last time I can remember when we just brought a guy back. They built up a pretty nice feud, him and Jericho. It was entertaining. It was a great way to send off a legend. You know, I'm okay with that if you're going to do it as a special event. But, I mean, Chris Jericho in a goddamn street fight every other week against, you know, some new faction, like, it's not for anyone. I think, you know, again, if you want to do Tully, I think I'll get a little pushback here. I like Tully as a manager. I think he's kind of a dastardly prick. He plays the part well. I don't want to see him in the ring. Arn, you know, if he wants to give someone a spine buster, not in a match, just, you know, he's sick of someone's crap and he wants to do it, great. But we don't need to see these guys, you know. And if they want to do their swan song, I'm okay with, let's book it for a pay-per-view, let's build this up for a number of months, and but then you got to be done. We can't continue to have you out weekly wrestling, because it's a horrible look.
Now, when I look at it, Kerry, and we look at it, and I want to see guys, like, get in the ring, and like I said, just like Matt said, Ricky Steamboat was perfect. They sent him off. He went right into retirement. He did not get back in the ring ever again. He was good with it. But we got to make the transition to something that now has become, for the last, I'm going to say 20 years, sad and kind of like awkward and very pathetic. Ric Flair. Ric Flair was before the Dark Side of the Ring, was widely seen as the greatest wrestler, in-ring wrestler, who has ever lived. Now, he is so far past his prime, but yet you see him on social media. You see him still trying to be relevant. There was talk when he asked for his release from the WWE that AEW would sign him, but then the Dark Side stuff came out and he became radioactive. Do you think any company should bother with Flair?
No. No, because we've seen the best of Ric Flair already. And it was, you know, 30 years ago. You know, we've seen the best of him. You know, we're seeing some more of the best of him with Charlotte. Like, I'm no Charlotte stan, but I mean, she can wrestle.
Yep.
It's just, people can't let go of the dinosaurs. We can't let go of the past. It's something that's troubled us as a society for millennia. We can't, it's hard to let go of the past, because when you let go of the past, you have to admit that it's over. And I think Rick is having a hard time admitting that it's over. He's not relevant anymore. He's not, you know, I mean, he'll always be part of the blueprint of professional wrestling, period, because just his promos, the way he was. I mean, there will never be another Ric Flair. But Ric Flair is not going to go quietly into the sunset. That's not his style. But I think he needs to be made to. He needs to, I don't just let him just settle down and retire. Don't give him any more airtime. Don't just let him go out into the pasture. I think the more people bring him up, the more nobody wants to hear all of Ric Flair's horrible crap from the past, because nobody wants to hear all of that. I mean, but it's sad. I mean, it's sad to say we have it every day. People reliving stuff, but I mean, no, I don't think anybody wants to hear any more of Ric Flair's crap. I personally don't.
No,
I think just let him go.
I agree. Now, Matt, has there ever been a wrestler who has shamefully lived his gimmick more than Ric Flair, to the point where he's 73 years old and broke?
No. No, he's on Twitter telling people he's got one more match in him yet. I mean, no, absolutely not. This guy lived his gimmick. I mean, his 30 for 30 is one of the most watched ESPN specials of all time. I mean, the guy, he's just fascinating in that regard. I mean, he legit, what you saw in the ring is what you got outside of the ring. I mean, it's incredible.
Who's he going to wrestle his last match with, Vince?
No, that's what I mean. He's out there telling people he's got one more good one in him. And I'm like,
no,
his last good
no,
one was
nothing.
His Sean. Why he decided to come back in TNA, he had his best, his send-off, and it was beautiful. It was perfect. And he managed to screw that up.
It's like I said, because he couldn't let go. He could not let go.
It's horrible.
He's broke to the fact that one of the reasons why he went to the WWE in 1991 is because he had such a strong relationship with Vince. Vince has loaned that man millions of dollars to get out of debt, to get out of whatever. And I'm surprised he asked for his release, considering the fact that Vince kept him afloat. Like, Vince McMahon's a lot of things. But, wow, like, it takes real ungratefulness to ask for your release after this man's paying you to be a legend. He's just paying you to do nothing. Just be Ric Flair. Vince McMahon fired Jim Ross over Ric Flair. He chose Ric Flair over Jim Ross.
Yep.
I mean, Vince McMahon showed Ric Flair more loyalty than Ric Flair showed Vince McMahon.
He just needs to, if he wants to do a legends deal somewhere, cut a promo once every 6 months, you know, whatever. I guess I can live with that. But I mean, he cannot wrestle. He looks terrible. He nearly freaking died like a year and a half ago. Like, stop. Just, we should make a new rule for the show. Stop talking about Ric Flair. Just so his name's not out there. Just be one less person to bring him up. I mean, he just needs to. Oh, it's brutal. He needs to stop.
Now, when we come back from break, we are definitely going to talk about one guy who should always be a face and talk about tag teams. You're listening to the Hot Tag Podcast on the FBC Radio Network. We are back with the Hot Tag Podcast. Kerry, Matt, and Terry here to discuss Adam Cole. Kerry, Adam Cole, in my estimation, has one of the better entrances in the business, and he should be a face. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, you're not wrong, and the only reason that Adam Cole is a heel right now is because the Bucks are heels.
Ugh.
If the Bucks weren't heels, if the Bucks were faces, Adam Cole would be a face right now. They're trying to they're trying to do their little super click thing in whatever way they want to do it. I like Adam Cole. I think he's a great wrestler. I think he's got charisma. He's got a look. I like everything about him. I mean, I've not been an NXT watcher, but seeing some of the stuff he did in NXT was great. Seeing some of the stuff he did, you know, he's that guy. There are a lot of guys like him in AEW. And he's got a, you know, I really feel like they should definitely give him a spotlight. And again, here we are, a good wrestler getting hemmed in with a faction. And I feel like all these factions are just holding a lot of these wrestlers back. I mean, Adam Cole, that's he's money. He's give him everything, but you can't give him everything because he's too stuck up with the Bucks. He's caught up with them. So, I mean, I think they did him a disservice by right off the bat sticking him with the Bucks.
Matt, Adam Cole, do you think that he should be like a face? And think about it, he's only, what, 32 years old. My only issue is it was like if he put a little more size on, he could be a little more believable if he was going up against a bigger ref, like a Miro.
Yep.
Do you think that Cole had it in him to be one of the faces, literally, of AEW?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, he's you mentioned it right off the bat. I mean, you can't have, he's got one of the best entrances in wrestling. I mean, everyone's into it. Everyone cheers him. Everybody, you know, he could come out and, light a city on fire, and the people would love him. Like, you know, he's awesome. He'd be a great face, and people could get behind him. And he's got the talent. People aren't going to get sick of it. So I'm curious to see what they do with him and Bobby Fish, and I'm hopeful O'Reilly gets over there, and you know, I think that could maybe shake some things up for Adam Cole. I'm hopeful at least, but yeah, he could carry a company. I mean, he's one of the most over wrestlers right now. I mean, he doesn't work at all. Terry, you nailed it though when you said, you know, his size. I mean, he's got to be a guy competing against maybe a, you know, guys his size are a little bigger and stuff. But yeah, he doesn't really work for me as a heel. And but I mean, he's entertaining. He can overcome it. So, he needs to be a face. So that's just all it is.
So when Kyle O'Reilly shows up, they can have the Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly versus the Bucks. They'll have a chairs and ladders match for custody of Adam Cole. How about that? I think that could work.
A ladder match for custody of Adam Cole.
How about
Cole
it?
Cole on a pole.
Oh, God.
Cole on a pole. Yes. Yes.
Good Lord. Yeah.
I can't breathe.
I want to see this. Like that's the type of stuff that puts butts in seats right there. Like I need to see that on an episode of Dynamite.
Then the loser gets Brandon Cutler.
Oh. Yeah.
Cole on a pole. That is free. That is absolutely fantastic. Cole on a pole. I love it.
Anything beats Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah. But, right.
Our last and best topic is who is your favorite current tag team? Matt, which tag team currently out there is the one that you don't miss their matches?
Oh, FTR, baby. This ain't even close. Yeah, I take the back. RK-Bro, they've grown on me. I think the thing I'm looking forward to most with RK-Bro, I think they're doing a hell of a job softening up Randy right now for a Riddle heel turn on him eventually. I truly believe that's going to come down the pipe. Like, I am so excited for it. But, oh, yeah, FTR, man, they can – I think their versatility, like, them wrestling all these Lucha teams is I mean, it's impressive because they make it look good considering that is not their style. I mean, they can go against anyone, anytime. And, yeah, it's must-see TV for me. I know Kerry is – not going to pick FTR, but no, that is absolutely my tag team.
Kerry, who'd you say is your current tag team?
And Matt's going to go, and I'm going to say the Lucha Brothers. I can't, I can't get enough of them. I can't help it. I cannot get enough of them. Now, I will say that RK-Bro has my honorable mention just for the sake of curtain jerking because they're so good at it.
Yes.
Like, I just on Raw not an hour ago he put a wig on Randy Orton. Like who's putting wigs on Randy Orton? Nobody but Riddle. Like when I first saw Riddle, he so got on my nerves, just so annoyed me. But I feel like the only way this could go is a Riddle turn on him. I mean, seriously. Now, I will give another team honorable mention, the Street Profits. I really enjoy watching those guys.
Yep, I'm on board with that.
I really like those guys. I think they're spearheading the next. They're the next tag team in WWE for me. They're really good.
I would go. Oh, that's a hard one. I'm not going to say the Lucha Brothers because there's no way. I like FTR, but for me, it's a combination of either FTR or the Briscoes, Mark and Jay, who apparently were backstage
at
Dynamite.
Can't go wrong with that.
They're backstage at Dynamite. If they get signed, the tag team division in AEW becomes phenomenal, and they will push the Bucks further away from the spotlight. The Briscoes are one of the best tag teams because they tell a story. It's believable. they are really these guys who own a chicken farm in Delaware, and this is their main job. The reason why they weren't signed with the WWE, they have assault records from fighting in bars. They are the gimmick.
I mean, yeah, man. Hard to go against that, Terry. It really is.
Any tag team that's going to have a match against each other at said farm in said barn, that I'm not one for the cinematic style matches, but that one was great because it was done the right way.
I mean, I'm not just saying that because Mark or Jay is a Raiders fan, but they are one of the best tag teams out there. And now that there's no more ROH, I mean, it works. It truly works for them. And I think it's going to be interesting once they get to AEW, because then this is where Tony Khan has to ask himself a question. You have this team come in who is a championship quality team. They have to start letting some of the talent that doesn't get used a lot go. They got to let them go.
Well, Terry, I mean, did the Bucks just re-sign? I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of contracts out there that are just, we're not re-signing them. So I'm curious to know who we don't see here in the upcoming months, because a lot of contracts just are coming up right now in AEW.
I don't see Kip Sabian coming back. You know, he's injured. There's no role for him.
No.
There's no role for Sonny Kiss.
No, there isn't. I mean, you can't. I mean, Elevation and Dark. I mean, who are the people watching this like every week? I really would like we got to get our Facebook page up and going, because I mean, I really want to talk. I need to talk to the people who are watching this every single week.
With the time, think about this. With the time that they waste on Dark and Dark Elevation, why the hell not make Rampage 2 hours?
And I
make
that,
Rampage 2 hours and give it some build, give it some storytelling time. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, I understand the need for Dark and Dark Elevation. I get that. But maybe make your developmental, make it more quiet, make it more doing smaller shows, make it, you know, somewhere like a power plant, like a, you know, something like that, where it's not all on TV 24 hours a day. You know, I really feel like that would help.
And I know that, Carrie, you're not going to like this, but speaking of people that may need to, I know that she's been battling Crohn's, but whenever Big Swole is able to come back, I don't see how she fits in now. Like, make it make sense.
I don't know how to make it make sense, because it's so hard when you're dealing with someone that has chronic illness or chronic injuries, especially when they were big, they were going somewhere, they were building something with her. And I think you're right, Terry. I don't really see it. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, because I think she's very talented, I just don't think wrestling right now, you need to be on TV. You need to be where people can see you. And if you can't be where people can see you, you're not going to make it.
And I think this is, Matt, this is where, even though he's a big name in the indies and a big type of recruiting force, this is where the backstage part of Joey Janela's career comes to start. This is where he doesn't need to be on TV. He hasn't been on TV. He's not a good wrestler. He's truly not a good wrestler. He's a garbage wrestler. He's the recruit for independent talent, apparently, but he needs to end the in-ring career. Like, it's not, he's not getting better in the ring. He's sloppy.
No. He can.
Go ahead. You were saying?
Oh, yeah. No, he's a garbage wrestler. He can go on GCW and fight with Nick Gage. I mean, I have no interest in watching what he does. He's just not a good wrestler. He's put on some entertaining garbage matches, I guess, with Moxley on, I believe it was their second pay-per-view. I mean, that was something you don't see all the time, walking on glass and doing idiotic crap like that. But I don't need to see any more Joey Janela. I'm good. He's lost. He can go do whatever he wants to do.
And I'm also good with, like, no Don Callis. Like, Kenny Omega needed Don Callis for the early part of the championship reign to kind of cement him as a heel. He's cemented now. Don Callis can go away and sexually harass other women in other companies now.
It follows him, though. I mean, he that's what he does. Like, that is his shtick. I mean, that's not going to change. Yeah, Don Callis, he overstayed his welcome to begin with. So, yeah, he can pull his hand.
Now, Kerry, when you look at Taz, do you think Taz should just be an announcer? Because they don't really need another faction. And Team Taz, they pretty much are glorified jobbers, basically. They lose more than they win.
It's keep him talking. Just with a lot of these guys, they don't need to be on TV. I don't need to see Taz. I don't. I know he's not wrestling. I don't need to see him every 5 seconds. He doesn't offer anything. Now, when he's announcing, I think he's great. I like listening to him, you know. But I don't need to see him and his kid. I don't need to see Hook. Who cares? We don't know jack about him. I don't care. You know, I've been saying it for several months now. AEW is too faction heavy. It's way too much. It's stifling good possible singles wrestlers by getting them caught up in just unnecessary crap.
I think too, though.
Absolutely unnecessary crap.
I think so too, Kerry. I think one of the things you're going to see here is, and Kerry said it beautifully before, I think a lot of these guys are just not going to get re-signed. I mean, again, I mean, most of them had 2-year, 3-year deals, and that time is up. So I think AEW is going to slim down too quite a bit. So I think you're going to see time for, you know, people we want to see out there. I don't think we're going to see a lot of Joey Janela's, and, you know, I don't hate Sonny Kiss, but I mean, doesn't do anything
well,
for
no.
me either. So,
but I mean, there's
I'm
not
just
a
saying.
Spot. There's not, he doesn't have a spot. There's not a
right,
spot
exactly.
for a
but,
lot of these people.
Yep.
And I think AEW, if they're looking at people like as much as I hate to say it, Big Swole or somebody, you know, people that consistently get hurt. I mean, you know, Beretta's hurt again. You know, it's like a lot of these guys keep getting hurt. And I mean, if AEW is really trying to do something and keep people's eye on them, they're going to have to just, you know, stick with people that can be on TV. And if you're, like I said, in this day and age of wrestling, if you're not on TV, who the hell is paying attention? Nobody.
Red Velvet's got to go.
What was that, Terry?
Red Velvet has to go. I'm sorry.
Oh, she's terrible.
Yeah.
She's not getting better. She's getting worse.
No.
No, that match against Jade Cargill was a train wreck.
AEW right now needs to institute exactly what WWE is doing. If you're not better in 6 months, you're out. That's how it has to be, or you're going to get it again like this right now, where it's too, everything is too clogged up, and it's not like the good ones aren't the really good wrestlers aren't being allowed to go up, and the really bad wrestlers aren't allowed to come down. It's just it's not working.
Terry, can we talk about this next week a little bit? Can we? Yes. Does wrestling need a third promotion?
Yes, that'll be a topic next week. I like that topic, and we're definitely going to get on it. This will be our opening topic of the next week of the Hot Tag Podcast. Where Matt, Kerry, I'm Terry. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.